go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's quarter after 9 a.m. 2009, Thursday, February 19th. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and Senator Elton has just stepped out for a minute. He'll be back. And myself, Senator Stedman. So we have a full committee today. On today's agenda is a briefing presentation by the Department of Transportation on the status of the statewide capital transportation projects, which we talked about last special session and I think last regular session, having some briefings on this. We're going to have to end a little earlier today. We have a joint session with Senator Murkowski on the floor, 10:45, and I understand some of the DOT representatives might skip out a couple minutes early to go down to the third floor for a meeting. But during the 09 capital budget process and energy special session last year, several committee members expressed an interest in getting a complete picture of what's going on with DOT from a statewide perspective so we could build or view the different regions and then overlay the gas line subject matter, the infrastructure. And now there's an extra component coming in play, which is the federal stimulus. So we see an entire package of what's going on around the state. For each year during the annual capital appropriation cycle, the Finance Committee is being asked to authorize programs and or projects in isolation each year without any context for where they fit into the state's long-term infrastructure improvement plan. So we're trying to close that gap. When the DOT came before the committee with a $130 million appropriation request for gas line-related work, there were questions and concerns about whether funding those three projects would exclude, delay, or otherwise affect projects in other parts of the state. What projects are moving, which ones are not, which ones are completed, where we're at, and there's some concern on the workload in different regions of the state. Mainly has been pointed out by DOT, there might be some issues in Fairbanks coming this fall and currently in Southeast. While the STIP, which is the Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan or program, may be useful planning tool for the department, it almost has no value to the Finance Committee. It seems to be completely delinked from the state's appropriation process, and there are some concerns that we'll get into over the next several days as we deal with that and try to understand DOT's position more, why they value the STIP process so much more highly than the way it's viewed here at the table. Today we're going to start the process with some background from different regions around the state, and we're going to build on that as we go forward over the next month. And we're going to have, I'm sure, extensive discussions concerning the stimulus package and how this interplays, but we definitely need to get more of a base to work off of so we don't have any gaps. And we also have the size of the FY10 capital budget to deal with and how that gets implemented in as far as spread around the state so we don't have regions of the state that are left out as we go on with, in some areas, bigger and better things, and we end up with a lot of issues in particular areas. But with us today we have Mr. Frank Richards, the Deputy Commissioner of Transportation. The Commissioner has some urgent family business, so he will not be joining us today. And Mr. Richards might leave a little bit early, but he said he's going to leave his trusty crew here to fend for themselves with that in his absence. And with that, Mr. Richards, if you can introduce yourself for the record, and then go ahead and walk through your presentation, and we'll be, I'm sure, asking questions along the way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Frank Richards. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I'm joined at the table today by Nancy Slagle, our Director of Administrative Services. We have online with us our regional directors, Gary Davis from Southeast Region, Gordon Keith from our Central Region, and Steve Titus from our Northern Region. But before I pass on to our regional directors to make their presentation on the projects, I do remember very well the conversations that we had in this room near on 6 months ago in the special session, where you asked us to be able to present to the committee what our active projects are, how they're proceeding, and where we are going forward. So that is was the emphasis that we had taken in preparation for the start of the legislative session and had worked to present our program to you. With conversations with your staff, we had to make some quick alterations to our presentations, and so we presented it into the form that you have in front of you today. We look forward to the continued conversations that we'll have on the existing program and our future programs, not only on the 2010 capital budget, but on the economic stimulus. So what we are going to present to you today is essentially the universe of our active projects. Those projects, highway, aviation, and transit projects that are in design and in or anticipating construction or under construction at this time. This will include all fund sources, both general fund, our federal funds, both highway and aviation funds, and our GO bond projects. The regions will present their information to provide you an estimated bid date, construction cost estimates, provide a brief scope of their projects, and the current status of those projects. The information they have in front of you today literally represents hundreds and hundreds of projects, both in the design and construction phases. We will be presenting to you, Mr. Chairman, this information in electronic form, so you'll be able to do sorts and edits as you so choose. We have provided, or Nancy has brought with her today, the CP3 form, which is...
Will you pull your mic a little closer, please? We just don't want to miss any word that you say.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. As I was saying, we brought today our CP3 form, this 2.5-inch thick document of project information. Rather than providing that to each individual member, we've tried to condense it into this format, and we'll be presenting again in an Excel format then those projects to you. So with that, I will pass it on to our regional directors. We're going to start with the Southeast Region and Gary Davis, the regional director.
And I'm just kind of curious before going why Mr. Davis isn't here in person. Is he working Juneau or is he?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Davis works in Juneau. He has moved to Juneau, and he is actually on business in Anchorage at this time, and is probably in our Anchorage office.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Gary Davis. I'm the Southeast Regional Director, Department of Transportation. As most of you know, I'm fairly new to the position. I've been here 6 weeks. And I had some business on the peninsula, and I'll be in Anchorage tomorrow. So, being fairly new to the department, I have Mr. Andy Hughes, the regional planner, at the meeting there in Juneau, and he is more familiar with the details of the projects in Southeast. The handout that we have for you has 75. Projects listed, and as indicated by Mr. Richards, these projects range from major highway projects. We have a minor bridge project for $50,000, and we have a major airport project for over $40 million. So that's the range of the projects. Of course, Southeast ranges from Yakutat. Our region from Yakutat down to Metlakatla and includes all of the communities in between. So, Mr. Chairman, for details of any of the projects in Southeast, I'm sure Mr. Hughes there could be more benefit to you on asking the specifics than I can.
Okay, you have anything else to say? I thought Petersburg Airport was less than $40 million.
I think, in thumbing through this, trying to find it's in alphabetical order so I can look at Petersburg, but I think Mr. Hughes would be more up to date on details of that.
So you got, there's two phases, page 13.
One phase is under in progress right now, and that's the drainage issues, which will, you know, shut down the airport for a month or so, and all transportation arrangements have been made to accommodate all the citizens of the area during that shutdown.
So for this region, there's concern that there isn't enough projects coming out to keep the construction industry moving along. What's your thoughts on that? Are they overworked, underworked? We need more projects, less projects?
Well, with the, Mr. Chairman, with the stimulus projects, that's a number of projects that will be bid relatively shortly. The list includes projects that are currently in various stages of construction. Some of them are, I know, 20% complete. We've got some on the street being bid currently. So it certainly appears to me that there's going to be enough projects to keep companies busy.
There's the Bob Ellis Ferry in Ketchikan in this particular region. It doesn't appear that there's going to be the Gravina Hardlink access built within the next year because of a delay. What do you plan on doing to facilitate moving forward with the replacement of the Bob Ellis Ferry?
The Bob Ellis Ferry, we need additional dollars for that. It was bid, and the bids came in higher than dollars available for that project. There's the option of pursuing additional general fund dollars through your office, Mr. Chairman, or legislators. It is a project we want to complete. Should general fund dollars not become available, or we've also included it in the stimulus package to be bid as a federal aid project.
I guess I need a little bit of clarification. I understand it's not in the governor's capital request or budget. And I was under the impression under the stimulus that the ferry money was removed and it wouldn't be in the stimulus package. Is that, can you help me with that?
Mr. Chairman, if I could have Mr. Hughes, and of course related to the stimulus package, I see Jeff Otteson and Nancy, they're both worked diligently on the details on that. If I could pass that question on to them.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take the stimulus question.
Go ahead.
This one. You are correct in terms of the transit monies that Congress appropriated in part of the stimulus package. We are not able to utilize the fund for the ferries as we had envisioned, which was from the House version of the bill. So the funding, though, for the Bob Ellis that we anticipate using with economic stimulus funds would be for out of the federal highway dollars rather than the federal transit funds.
So there's an issue with extension of the bid. How are you guys going to extend the status of the bid process, or how are we going to deal with this so we don't end up not having a ferry?
Mr. Chairman, we do have an open bid currently, and that bid was prepared using general funds because the funds that were appropriated by the legislature were general funds. The challenge we have is that if we supplement the general funds with federal funds, we have to follow a federal process in terms of procurement and project development. That will mean that if we use federal funds to complete the project, we will have to go back and do additional work and then rebid that project. But that will take out some of the provisions that are Alaska specific, like Alaska preference. And we'll follow the Federal Highway Administration process for the bids.
And did you ask, and I don't want to dwell on this because we got many issues, but this is one where the Coast Guard may not license that ferry in January, and it's pretty clear DOT's not building a bridge, and it's not in the capital budget, and we understand that the governor has veto authority, so she apparently there might be some disinterest in it. What are we going to do to build that ferry? That's what I want to know.
Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Davis has said, we anticipate if there are funding coming through the legislature, that would provide general funds. If there are funds that do not come through the legislature, our alternate procedure would be to use the federal funds that would be available to us.
Okay, so you don't expect that we're going to have a situation where we'll have no access to Gravina Island?
Mr. Chairman, the region I know, as well as the Ketchikan Borough, is very concerned about that, and I believe they're in consultation or communications with the Coast Guard to identify the challenges that we have. The Coast Guard is intimately aware of the condition of the ferry, but they know that access is important to the community and that we are working diligently to come up with an alternative to be able to complete this project.
Okay, well, we'll move on because we do have an appropriation that we did a few years ago, $5.7 million, which was DOT's number to facilitate the construction of this vessel. Now it appears it may be double, to my understanding, depending on what methodology we implement.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct. With the cost, with the high bid that we receive, which is more than the appropriations provided, as well as with the funds that we would need to do construction administration, the funding that we would need is probably, I believe it's in the $4+ million range, but we have those specifics and we'd be glad to share those with you. If we do indeed go forward with the federal process, that will again require reworking of the bid documents, more time, and more cost.
Senator Elton?
Thanks, and Mr. Chair, while we're on the economic stimulus discussion, and a kind of a specific question that gets to a fundamental or an umbrella issue, On page 6 on the list of projects for Southeast Alaska, the bottom project is Juneau Glacier Highway, Amalga Harbor to Eagle Beach. Estimated bid date, March of 2009, so coming up here quickly. And the funding source, it says economic stimulus. That had a previous funding source, right? It wasn't economic stimulus dollars. I can't remember what the dollars were, but historically, I mean, you were planning on doing that. You were planning on doing it whether or not there was an economic stimulus package, but you weren't using economic stimulus dollars. How do you do that? I mean, isn't there a provision in the stimulus bill that you can't substitute stimulus dollars for dollars that are already committed to a project, because then you don't have a stimulus, you're just using stimulus dollars to do something that was already planned?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I will take a stab at it, and I'll bring Jeff Otteson up to answer the specifics in terms of the level of effort requirements. But the Glacier Highway project was in the STIP for out years, and so it was a federal highway project. So in this regard, we're using, again, the federal highway process, and then because it was out and did not have defined funding, then we're able to utilize, or hopefully utilize, funding from economic stimulus to perform some of these projects. The ultimate disposition of the projects will be with consultation with the Senate Finance Committees and what those projects are, and what we are recommending in terms of what the projects would be in terms of priority order, and then provide you our justification on those projects. But I'll ask Jeff to come up and ask that specific question on level of effort.
Mr. Chair, Jeff, maybe you can start with the funding history. I mean, because Am I mistaken in remembering that this money was already appropriated for the project, and that?
First of all, Jeff Otteson, Director of Program Development for Alaska DOT. Through the chair, Senator Elton, I don't know offhand whether it's got legislative authority to use federal funding. I don't believe it does. I think we just have a design start. But the issue that you raise is, can we take projects that were in the STIP and now fund them with stimulus? The answer is unequivocally yes. The way the maintenance of effort language works is we can't, at the end of the day, substitute a federal dollar for a non-federal dollar and not spend that non-federal dollar. In other words, they want stimulus dollars to be additive to your overall program. They don't want it just to be a swapping of funds. But the question and answer document from Fed Highways makes it abundantly clear that we can move federally funded projects into stimulus and then move future projects that right now aren't funded to use those federal dollars, as long as at the end of the day, we are in fact spending more dollars than we would have before stimulus. It's, in fact, states can't meet the timeline if they don't do this. The timelines of 1, 2, 5 years to develop a project, and we have to get them out the door in less than 4 months. There's a disconnect if you can't do this. You would not be able to meet the deadlines.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Before we go to Senator Hoffman on the STIP process, this bill is new and we're still trying to sort through it. But my understanding of looking at some of the language, that if a community has a project that's following the federal guidelines, it can be available for the stimulus money. It doesn't have to have been on the STIP process. Is that not correct?
Mr. Chairman, I'm a little hard of hearing, so I'm not sure I heard your exact question. But if a community has a project that has followed the true federal process, and we're aware of it, it is eligible for stimulus funds. If it's been, you know, if it's been tracking by FHWA or FTA, has all the necessary steps done. But typically, most communities, when they get money other than federal money, they don't follow the federal process. They just, it isn't in their interest to do that because the federal process is so time-consuming and clumsy.
The question was, does it need to be in the STIP?
Oh, does it need to be in the STIP? Absolutely. The STIP, no federal funds that we receive can flow unless they're shown in the STIP as a project that has been gone through that public process.
I guess we got to clear up if it actually has to go through DOT, if it's following that federal process, if it couldn't go to the community. But we'll get that sorted out, because I'm hearing two different things. One of them is has to go through DOT, and the other one is if it follows the process and it's underway, it doesn't have to. So I guess we need to get, because there are a couple of projects around the state that fit that criteria.
Mr. Chairman, there are a small number of projects that are not being managed by DOT that are federally funded. They are being pursued by the Denali Commission or Western Federal Lands, which is an arm of the Federal Highway Administration, or some transit-funded projects where the Federal Transit Administration actually works directly through to the local government and does not work through DOT. But the federal highway funds, by and large, flow through DOT and were required under their rules to be the responsible administrator. To the point is that even if we sub-allocate money to a local government and they make a mistake, it's the state that's expected to repay for that mistake.
I'll just give you one example and we'll go to Senator Hoffman. He might even have an example in his district, but I have one in mind. Ketchikan, they've got an emergency repair, bridge repair, which has nothing to do with Gravina Access, and we deal with the bridge. But it appears to have qualified, and not in the STIP, so maybe you can get back to my office of why that wasn't integrated or why you feel that shooter is automatically excluded out of the process. Senator Hoffman?
I do have another project. That's the Sandpoint project, the road project, and I know that they have met with you. And on one end, you say that you want to go through and get these projects done expeditiously, but on the other end we have the STIP process that is very cumbersome, very drawn out, and to get projects into the STIP is very, very difficult. I know in the past we've been able to modify the STIP in short order, and my question to you, I guess, is that available to us to modify the STIP, and can we proceed with modifying that STIP so that we can get projects into the grind so that the projects can get accomplished. I remember in the past, the STIP has been modified and quite expeditiously, and I wonder if that is still available to the state of Alaska.
Through the chairman, Senator Hoffman, the STIP is a federal required body of law that we follow. It just in the past 2 years, they added substantially to the rules. They made it, you know, I describe it as going from two-dimensional to three-dimensional chess. It was a big, big change in the process. Only thing I can advise you is it's gotten harder to even deal with it through the normal process. We are struggling at this point between staffing and all the rules that have changed to deal with it. And when we deviate from the STIP, I've dealt with five lawsuits over the STIP in my career, and all in the past, in this decade. The ones we won are the ones where we played by the rules, and the ones we lost were the ones where we deviated from the rules. So you always put that at risk. That's sort of the risk you run.
And well, that doesn't answer my question. What is the process? You told me it's three-dimensional now, but does that mean the modification process goes from 2 months to 3 months, or does it go from 1 year to 2 years? What's the time frame for modification? Or because of the three-dimensional aspects, that is no longer an option? And the other question that I have, I guess, is that because of the time frame that we're under to get these projects on the street in short order, and the fact that we have potentially additional requirements as a result of the stimulus package, is the department asking for additional staff so that these projects will comply with the additional requirements and we will not end up in lawsuits and we will be able to get these projects completed in a timely manner? You know, I guess that I hear that there are additional requirements. Is there additional staffing requested by the department so that none of these projects fall under the between the cracks?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the STIP process, as Jeff has articulated, is very, very challenging. We worked over the last month or more with the existing staff within the regions as well as with headquarters to look at the universe of projects that we felt would meet the stimulus requirements and develop the STIP Amendment number 18 that we published last week. That STIP Amendment, the process that Federal Highways has placed on us in order to go through the public process and the review process by not only Federal Highway but Federal Transit authorities, is now a 90-day process. Previously, as Jeff referred to, we were able to do amendments to the STIP on a regularly routine basis, and it was not as time-consuming as it is now. Now when we do an amendment, even to change a major a fund source on a project or add more money to additional phases of the project, it requires an amendment, and that is an extremely cumbersome process. So this current STIP amendment is out on the street right now. It's a 90-day process. It identifies the realm of projects that we felt would be eligible to receive stimulus monies. So it is out there and out there for public review as we speak.
Well, I guess to follow up on the chairman's question, if there is a project that isn't there, I know that there's different timelines for the stimulus package. Some, I think, we don't have all the specifics, but there is a portion that's available for the start of the projects within a 12-month period. So I guess if we as a legislature are going to have an impact on what we feel is projects that have a broad spectrum, I guess we need to be working with you so that the projects that we identify can be started and that 90-day process can begin for amendment number 20, so that those projects could potentially fall into the 12-month criteria. And I'm just saying, we've had preliminary meetings with Governor Palin during our retreat in Alyeska, and she said she wanted our input, and I think that is what I think is being requested at this table.
And then when you answer that, we'll get to Senator Elton here in a minute. I'd like you to reiterate the Amendment number 18 and the involvement that the communities have in the timing element, there is some concern that the amendment, the STIP amendment, gets put together by DOT, and it's basically take it or leave it to the communities and to this table.
Mr. Chairman, the STIP amendment, again, number 18, is where we are going out and seeking public comment on the projects that we had provided in that STIP amendment. This is also the time when the legislature can voice opinion as part of the public process to say this project is good or bad or needs more money or whatever your public comment may be. But it's also, again, going back to the communities and their desires. The projects specifically on the economic stimulus package, as you articulated earlier, must have been in the process following the federal Title 23 rules that we follow for the preceding several years. So to get to this point, to be able to receive and expend the dollars within the 12-month time frame that Congress has now placed on us, of which at least 50% must be obligated within the first 120 days, the universe of projects was relatively small. We weren't aware of those outside projects such as Senator Hoffman was referring to. I wasn't, at least until yesterday, when it was brought to my attention that there were projects out there that had potential to receive economic stimulus. So we are out there asking for the public review. If there are projects, please identify what those projects are. I would caution, though, that for amendment number 18, we don't necessarily want to stop that process right now. Just to add, we may, if it's possible, look at another amendment to meet within the 12-month timeline so that we don't have the potential of losing the funds that we want to distribute and use around the state.
Before we go to Senator Elton's question, explain to me again how this notification of the communities went forward with amendment number 18, and if they were notified prior to the creation of the amendment or the creation of the or the draft amendment then was issued out for them to just make comments on, because there is some concern that there really isn't a public process to this.
Mr. Chairman, we have put out notice at the time that the draft 18 went out. We talked a lot. Remember, we had about a month now to get this ready. Do we have a public process in front of the amendment itself to nominate projects and go through some sort of a scoring process? And we kept going back to, at that time, the possibility of a 90-day deadline on the money, not 120-day. And we finally concluded that we had to use the universe of projects already in our pipeline as what we look at. We just, to live with the stimulus rules as they're laid down to all of us and not lose those dollars, and to be ready to capture dollars from other states who maybe are not quite as nimble, it was in our collective best interest to get a group of projects funded. And I want to keep stressing what happens next is STIP for 10, 11, 12, and 13 get built, and it right now is a blank slate. There are not that many projects in the pipeline. So anything that doesn't get funded by this STIP amendment with stimulus will be the projects that show up on the 10 and 11 year with regular STIP funding. It really is, everyone's being lifted like a rising tide in all boats. And if a project gets funded in 10 with stimulus dollars or it gets funded in 10 with regular STIP dollars, I guarantee you the community will not care. They'll want to know that their project's funded. They won't want to care about the color of that money that got funded it. If you look at the STIP as a whole, the fact that we've had fewer projects, there's been delays, there's been frustration with the process, it's been due to inflation and it's been due to more and more set-asides of the dollars, making the state have less dominion over this dollars. And by the state, I mean both the administration and the legislature. But right now, we've got a chance to take a lot of projects that have been waiting for funding, get them funded, and then move on to the next generation of projects. And that's what I think that's what we're trying to drive home. It's in our collective best interest to keep moving. If we slow down and start adding projects that really aren't going to make the timeline, we won't get that project done. It won't be fundable because the dollars will have evaporated to another state. And there will be no losers in the game. We'll all be our winners, I should say.
Well, maybe you can help us then with what projects would qualify for the STIP, but is not in there. So we have an idea of what South Serrano. Senator Hoffman has a project. There's a project in my district. I'm sure there's projects in Senator Olson's area and Senator Elton, F. Mats and A. Mats. Anchorage and Fairbanks is a little different. I think, well, at least Anchorage is different. You know, Fairbanks is treated a little different in some aspects.
I had the question on staffing, too, that wasn't answered.
Okay, let's go to that question, then we'll go to Senator Elton.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we are the existing staff that we have on board is working long hours, well into the weekends and on holidays in order to achieve the processing of the projects in order to be able to receive and expend those economic stimulus funds. We have existing staff that are doing designs, as well as we have consultants that are under contract to prepare those designs and get the projects to the bid ready. So we're using not only state assets, but our consulting communities that are currently under contract with us. And where need be, we've hired them or put them onto projects to be able to augment our staff and their staff to meet the needs of getting these projects biddable in the very, very short time frame. So we have not gone out and sought additional hiring to be able to ratchet up to meet this bubble as it goes through the pipeline.
I guess the question is there a need for additional staffing so that we get all of the projects further assurance so that none of them fall through? Are you saying that you do not need additional staffing and no dollars will fall through the cracks because of shortfalls in staffing?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we believe that our existing staffing and as well as with the help of our consultants will allow us to receive and expend those dollars that we anticipate coming through the stimulus. We are working diligently so we're able to capture not only the allocation that we know we are going to be receiving, but in the potential that if other states aren't able to use the monies that they've been appropriated, that we would be available to capture those dollars and use them in Alaska. I mean, we do that on a regular basis with our federal highway program, where we're able to have, at the end of the federal fiscal year, there's what's known as redistribution, and Alaska has routinely received extra dollars because we've been able to show that we can expend those dollars in Alaska.
Thank
Senator
you,
Elton.
And excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I apologize, but I have to go down to the third floor to have a previously arranged meeting. And I will leave it to the regional directors and our competent staff to answer your questions.
We're probably looking at if the future regions are the same type of presentation as Southeast, we're going to have you come back and lay this out in a format that's not just a stack of papers, because quite frankly, we can't look at these documents and see what's in place, what's coming. So we're going to have to work with you on how the data is presented to the committee so we get an understanding of what we have in front of us.
Will do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I, Senator Hoffman's question a moment or two ago was two parts, and we only answered the second part. I'd like to respond to his question about can a bridge project be added to the STIP and by the legislature and be accomplished by stimulus? I believe that was the question. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we could add that project to the STIP. That can be done. But could it then be accomplished in time to make the stimulus deadline? Probably the 99.9% answer is no. Bridges tend to be environmentally complicated. They tend to take 2 to 3 years to go through the permitting process. And so it just becomes impossible to actually get that work done. It's what we find is that when we want to do emergency bridge repairs, we almost always turn to state dollars to do that. And I'll give you an example. The three bridges on the Seward Highway, had we not had that GO bond money for bridges that was unnamed as to bridge, it was just bridges statewide, to use to react to that, those three bridges being found to be much worse condition than we previously thought, we would be without funding. We'd be here before you right now asking for GF to solve that problem. The federal dollars are so slow and so cumbersome, they are not a good tool to use for that kind of problem.
Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I think it's appropriate for the question is appropriate for Jeff, and I'm going to go back to my original question because in the subsequent discussion there have been some interesting things said, for example, that there are projects that have been waiting for funding, and the stimulus package, you know, gives us an opportunity to do that, and the communities don't really care about where the money came from as long as projects are done, and somebody said, I think it was Mr. Richards, said the universe of projects is relatively small. And I want to focus on Mr. Richards' comment because, again, I'm going to use the project that I used in my first question as an example, the Eagle, Amalga to Eagle Beach project. And I'm going to say something that I presume I have correct. And that is in the in this year's budget, $10.5 million was appropriated for that project. In the budget that's being presented by the governor, an additional $1.7 million is being appropriated because the cost of the project grew to 12.2. So we have $10.5 million of that. Now the answer, and I understood your answer, and I accept the premise that, you know, it's project ready, it can be funded with stimulus dollars, and I understand that, but it gets kind of back to a basic question, is I think communities the committee need to know what the complete list of projects are that may qualify for the money and may be able to meet the time deadlines, the time strictures that are in the stimulus bill, because it just seems to me that if there are projects that are kind of lying around left over that do meet the requirements of the bill, especially the timing requirements, it seems to me that substituting dollars that have already been appropriated for one project and substituting those dollars for stimulus dollars, that we'd be better off using the dollars that have already been appropriated and adding additional projects. So the comment about communities not caring where the money comes from, I think that's absolutely true. But if in fact there are projects out there that aren't being funded because we're substituting already appropriated dollars with stimulus dollars, it just seems to me that we're lessening the amount of projects, or the pool of projects that could otherwise be funded is smaller. And it gets back to, I think, what the chair was saying, that we need to have a good understanding of how many projects are out there that aren't being funded with stimulus dollars that could be. And I guess I'm asking the question because there have been some things that have happened that just puzzle communities. For example, there are transit dollars in CBJ that are going for new buses. But the CBA, and we appreciate that, but the CBJ's top transit project is the transit center, and so the community's puzzled why stimulus dollars being spent on their second priority instead of their first priority, and the transit center is obviously shovel ready. So I guess what I'm saying is that I understand the need for speed, but it will be easier for me, I think, and for communities to put the need for speed in context if we know that there are no other projects out there that could otherwise be funded, especially when you already have $10.5 million for a $12.2 million project that you're swapping out.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, we last week were before you and we said we'd get you a list. You asked for a list of the full universe of projects that we believe are stimulus eligible, and since that meeting, the bill has been passed by the conference committee, and the president now has signed it. So we have analyzed the bill. Some of the bill requirements actually narrowed the universe, particularly because the second deadline, instead of being 18 months, became 12 months. And so now a project really does have to be very, very close to being ready. That took another half dozen projects or so off of our universe. And I believe that list will be coming to you yet this week, if not today or tomorrow. The two projects you named, Glacier Highway, are definitely in that universe. So is the Juneau Transit Center. And I think the process is, I asked our staff, I says, Has Juneau ever even talked to us about the Transit Center? Have they ever even raised this project to our awareness and through Andy Hughes' awareness, who's sitting behind me? And the simple answer is no. We found out about that project by calling them and asking what was on your list. So we reached out in that particular case, particularly on the transit side, because our number of communities that use transit money is really less than 10 statewide. It's a much smaller list than it is on the highway side, where it's hundreds. And so the process of the STIP amendment that's out for public comment is the place for them to make their comments. They sent a letter in just yesterday, and we're aware of it. And I think that's the place where that final adjustment between buses and transit center can be made. But bear in mind, a week ago, when we published this draft STIP, we had about $9 million in transit money for vehicles and another $25 million for capital-type things like ferry terminals or transit centers. Now, the final bill has skinnied that $25 million out entirely. We've lost all that. We're left with $9 million statewide. So there has to be a pairing just as a result of that reduction. But I want to understand, the list is coming. I gave it to Frank and the commissioner just yesterday after our final vetting. And, you know, the public comment process in the STIP is exactly where a project like Juneau Transit Center gets evaluated and final adjustments are made.
We could, when we're speaking about Juneau, on page 8, help me with the list here, there's a Juneau Library, Archives, and Museum facility. Is that... I know we don't drive on our museums. And
said, if I may, Mr. Chairman, Andy Hughes is here from Southeast Region and would be more familiar with these type of projects.
Okay. If we could maybe just get a quick response on that, just a 30-second blurb.
The question is the Juneau Library, Archive, and Museum facility.
Correct.
We have some PE money to scope out that project. We don't have any other funding.
I guess we'll have to, at a later date, help me and the committee understand why the library and museum facilities in the STIP process, in the DOT process. I just don't understand the connection.
Oh, excuse me. The our understanding was that the committee was interested in all projects that the region is working on, and so we included some facility projects. Okay. These are not STIP projects.
Okay, that's fair. Fair enough. Well, if you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Andy Hughes, Regional Planning Chief, Southeast Region, DOT.
Senator Elton.
Back to the Juneau Library Archive Museum facility. I mean, would that project be eligible for STIP dollars under the education component of the stimulus package?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Go ahead and continue. Senator Elton's been excited about this project for quite some time.
Would you like us to go back to our plan presentation on regional?
Yes, if you would, and then I'd like to, when we're dealing with, because we're going to have you guys come back, as mentioned earlier. Could you help us with some of the total numbers here, if you have that, for this region?
By total numbers, you mean total numbers by category of funding, by region?
Well, we're just looking at Southeast Region right now. But yes, we've got the category of funding and funding sources, if you have those totals. I know I don't think we have any totals in this. That's what makes
us talk. I think maybe we better exchange me for Nancy Slagle, if we may, please, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Did you bring a summary?
No, I was told one. Swagel, if you can identify yourself and help us with the totals we're working with.
Thank
here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We did not bring a summary of total dollars for the Southeast Region active projects. We can certainly provide that to you. We have, I have brought some examples of other types of reports that we can provide to you as well. We have, I don't know if Andy can talk about how many projects active, or approximately how many active projects we have out there that Southeast Region is responsible for. Do you have a ballpark?
And if I could.
No, I do not.
I think we have coming from your department as requested in an Excel spreadsheet this data.
Right, Mr. Chairman, I was able to generate an Excel spreadsheet document of all active projects out of our management reporting system. We have two programs that we use for project tracking. One of them is the CP3 report, which is generated from our third-party billing system. That is a report that basically, or a system that provides us the ability to bill the federal government for activity on those projects. We also have what's called a management reporting system, which we maintain internally, that provides information specific to each project. I ran a report off of the management reporting system this morning and put it into Excel. It's 228 pages long and about 5,300 lines. So just so you know that there's a lot of information there, it will give you information concerning what has been programmed for each project, what's been encumbered and expended, and what the balance is. I can email that to your staff, and we can have discussions on that specifically. So.
And then we'll be able to sort it by region.
Yes, it's in Excel, so it's right now showing up as by region, but you can sort it any way that you want. There's another. You also asked about what is going forward in the way of construction this summer. And we have what's called a tentative bid schedule, which is out on our webpage, and I can provide that to you in Excel format as well. And that gives you an idea of what we are anticipating bidding out in the next, or what's actively out there for bid purposes. And it can give you, it provides which region, a description of the work, and a cost range that we're looking at for each of those projects. So that can provide you some information as well as to what we're expecting forthcoming projects to be. And I actually have, and then another, I have lots of reports, another one that I generated which has a list of projects, again by region, that would give you an estimated advertising date that might not be on our tentative advertising schedule yet, but that can be provided in Excel as well. So we have several different pieces of information and different reports we can provide to you, and we will do that.
All right. It is useful if we have that earlier than later. And particularly earlier before we walk into the meeting.
I can provide that to you today.
Because we can see how beneficial this type of data is to us. We're used to working with fairly complex budgets at a fairly high speed, but we can't work in a document world of the early 1970s.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the spreadsheets that I have don't have all of the information that you have in these Word documents. These have more information we thought that you wanted to see as to when we think those projects are going to be completed, what the total construction costs are going to be, and what the status of those projects are. And that's why we put them into this format for you today. It has additional information that's not in those spreadsheets. Right. So it's you're right, it's very complex, and there's, but we have a lot of information, and we would like to share that with you.
But if I could just real quickly, the Word document that we have in front of us, there's three of them. It is a 30,000 foot view, and I recognize that. But if we had it in a format that is flexible, I mean, we don't even have the ability to total it unless I sit here with a calculator. And then you've got all the different fund sources and So it's just dysfunctional. So if we can convert this to Excel and then try to get us data, I know OMB, a lot of their stuff is and stuff through Ledge Finance, we work in Excel. There's just no way we can handle the data, and you're going to have a lot of information coming at the committee, and the committee's not going to move forward until we're comfortable with what we're doing. So we need it in a high-speed format so we can handle the workload, because we do not want a special session.
So we'll get that to you in spreadsheet form if I can get that from the regions.
All right. Senator Hoffman, you had a question?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is, what is the total available? Do we know the total available for construction that's available to the state of Alaska? And I guess I have great concern. When we were meeting with the governor during our retreat, I expressed the concern, and I thought I got some assurance that there was going to be a broad brush so that we can see stimulus throughout the state of Alaska, you know, projects throughout the state of Alaska. And I guess my concern is that many times DOT, for whatever reason, it's harder for them to look beyond the borders of where their headquarters are, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and many of the projects in rural Alaska are few and far between, and I'm concerned that as a result of the stimulus package, many places in Alaska will be overlooked and not get the stimulus that they need or the project allocation that they need. And I guess how much do you have available on these sheets here, and how much is available to the state of Alaska? Do you have an idea of that as a thumbnail sketch for us today?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, are you referring to just the economic stimulus?
Yes.
Package?
Yes.
It's my understanding that we're looking at $175 million in highway and bridge money for the state. Then there's another $40 million in transit funding, and about, I believe we're looking at around $75 million in aviation projects, state airport projects. We will have, as Jeff and Frank had stated before, we'll be providing you the list of eligible projects under those, and a map as to where those projects are located throughout the state. And as from what I've seen, it is very widely dispersed. The projects are all over the state. They're not centered in one location or another.
So we have a little under $300 million worth of allocations. And what is the total this total package amount to? These three regions. What's a total sum of these?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, in current active projects, is that your question?
Well, are all of these available, eligible for the stimulus package? And if so, how much does this package total?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, what you have in front of you, these packages are all active projects that the department is working on. So it's not just STIP projects or airport projects, but includes facility projects as well. It's the universe of what we are working on right now. So there is certainly a subset of that would qualify for economic stimulus, but not all of this. So this is just to let you know what the universe is of what we are actually, what we're working on right now, and what the status of those are.
So
we can go back, and as I said, we'll put this into Excel format. We'll let, and we can total it so that you can see what the total funds are that we're using on or expected for current active projects.
I guess the question is how much do you think is eligible for stimulus in this package? Do we have an idea? Is it less than $300 million? Is it more than $300 million? Do we have an idea today for the committee's thumbnail sketch of where we are as a state.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, it's my understanding that the list of potential economic stimulus projects is over $300 million. Yes, we have more eligible projects than we have money that the state is going to receive.
How much more?
Jeff Otteson again, Director of Program Development. Senator Hoffman, through the chair, right now the universe of highway projects, highway and bridge projects eligible for stimulus is about $325 million. And that's on the list that we'll be giving you. And we have about $175 million that can be spent against that list. So that $150 million or so that can't make that list will be hopefully in line to be spent with money that comes from other states, if we're so fortunate as to capture that additional money. And that's what we're trying to do, is position the state to not only spend the 175, but to capture as much additional as we possibly can by being ready and by focusing on a group of projects that can be done in time to meet the deadlines.
And under the other two categories, transit and aviation?
The list, I don't have those as clearly in my head. The list on transit is potentially in the billions, because the railroad would want to add every project on their list. And so it's almost meaningless, so large, when you've only got $9 million that the state has discretion over. The other $32 million of transit money we receive is allocated directly to the Anchorage Metropolitan Transit or Transportation Organization, AMATS, or FMATS in Fairbanks, and some of that AMATS money is sub-allocated by law to the Alaska Railroad. So all of those allocations are done at the federal level, and the state, those dollars don't even flow through the state budget. They're allocated directly from FTA to those organizations.
In aviation?
In aviation, as Nancy Slagle said, there's about $75 million, and right now the Federal Aviation Administration is basically saying that they have the discretion to decide which projects and how much money is funded. So we have given them our list. Do you know the list, Andy and Nancy?
Not often.
It's much larger than that, but it's a decision the state right now is not entirely making. We're advocating, but we're not yet necessarily the decision maker.
But the spectrum of aviation projects, do we have a ballpark idea of how much is out there that's eligible for stimulus package?
I haven't been working with that directly, but it's at least $200 million, maybe as much as $300 million.
When we look at the overall state and the projects around the state, and when we get some of this data converted over so we have a better idea of what we've got in front of us, we want to definitely look at Anchorage and Fairbanks also.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, both Anchorage and Fairbanks are getting a fraction of stimulus dollars by, as a matter of law. There's a formula in the stimulus bill, so we're allocating to those two organizations the share that there is established in law.
Right. I understand that, but from a policy perspective, we need to have a high comfort level of what's going on in Fairbanks for Senator Thomas. Senator Ellis wants to know what's going on in Anchorage, and I would certainly want to know, and the other committee members. So when we look at the overall state, we're looking at the entire package, and we're going to have these multiple layers, as mentioned before, these ongoing projects and the FY10 capital budget and the stimulus. And if we don't look at it in the entirety, we're not going to know what we have in front of us, and it's going to be very difficult for us to make good
policy. Mr. Chairman, I can clarify. The Fairbanks list of projects for their stimulus sub-allocation came to us late yesterday, so we just got that list. The Anchorage list, I understand, has been decided, but I've asked for it just this morning, a copy of the list. I've not seen it yet.
Right. And that takes care of the stimulus portion, but we still have the ongoing issue, because I've been told several times from a few members of DOT that they're concerned that there's not enough work going on in Fairbanks Obviously, that catches Senator Thomas's attention as a representative here at the table from Fairbanks. And Senator Ellis has half the people in the state sitting in his town. So, you know, we're struggling with the mosaic that's in front of us.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I think when we present to you our final stimulus recommendation, you'll see that those problems with available work will be greatly diminished. We, as Nancy said, the map is widely dispersed, particularly when you look at it through aviation, highways, and transit combined. The dots are everywhere across the state.
Senator Ellen.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Probably a question for Nancy, on the Southeast region list of all the projects that you're working on, when I read the category estimated bid date, I can't make assumptions. For example, I can't make an assumption that if estimated bid date is beyond 2010, that doesn't necessarily mean it couldn't be bid in 2009, does it? Perhaps the estimated bid date is beyond 2010 because you don't have permits, but perhaps it's just because you don't have money. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, that's a possibility, that it's not because we don't have the money. It could be a variety of reasons as to why the bid date is out that far. Again, you're right, it could be right-of-way issues, it could be environmental permits or environmental documents or permits or any of those types of things that would cause us to put that bid date out.
And then, so, Mr. Chair, so as you prepare the additional documents, the Excel spreadsheets, for example, that you've been talking with the chair about, I mean, is it possible to include the reason for the estimated bid date? I mean, it would be, for example, it would be helpful to know whether the estimated bid date is out in the future because you don't have permits yet. But if it's just that you don't have money, I mean, that's something else.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, certainly that is something that we could add. It'll take us a while to do that because of the number of projects that we're talking about. I can get you something fairly quickly that wouldn't have that information, but we can certainly work on that.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe anticipating something the chair would say, but I think we want data quickly, and if it takes additional time, don't hold up the quick data for the full data. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we're going to come back to this issue, and we'll start with another region other than Southeast when we come back, and then finish up lastly with Southeast so we can cover these other regions after we get the data in a format we can review early and come back with a better view of what's going on. And we'll work with DOT on that, and if there's data formats that the members want, let us know so we can try to have a fairly smooth process till the first part of April when we conclude, or middle of April. Any other questions for DOT on this? I think our time is better spent when the data gets reformatted. And with that, we're going to come back tomorrow, and we have a joint at 9 a.m. We have a joint committee meeting with Senate Education Committee dealing with Seismic Hazard Safety Council. We will be back at 9 a.m. and we'll keep members posted on how the data is put together, and we'll get DOT back in front of us as soon as we can. This meeting's adjourned.